This is Zoe Midler, and this is episode 16 of Not a Rocking Chair Librarian, and today we're going to be speaking with Stacy Duvall from Horizons K-8 in Boulder Valley School District. Stacy's a classroom teacher extraordinaire, and she has borrowed a mobile maker kit, and she's had it for the past 30 days, and she has been doing amazing things and tweeting like crazy, and I'll get her to repeat her Twitter handle when I do the interview so you guys can see some of the stuff she's been doing with students. But we're going to talk to her in just a few minutes about her experiences with the mobile baker kit, more importantly, her students' experience with the kits, and kind of what she's learned and what she observed. So stay tuned for Stacy Duvall. Hey everybody, as promised, here is Stacy Duvall, and we are going to talk about her 30 days with her mobile maker kit that she borrowed from the district. So tell me, you are not a teacher librarian. How come you got a kit?
So at Horizons, we're uniquely positioned as a charter school. Not only do we not have a librarian, we don't have a library, but I had seen the mobile maker kits at Tech Contact meetings and at Innovate at BBSD last year.
Yeah, that's right.
And knew it was something I wanted to make sure the students at Horizons got the chance to experience, and selfishly knew I wanted to have my students be able to play around with it. So I just said, okay, I'm just going to check it out and I'll come up with a way to make sure that we get to play with it K-8.
Yeah, because we always think of the teacher librarian taking and putting in the library and everybody gets to have access, but you were just a classroom teacher, you took them, and then you were like, I'll figure out how to give everybody exposure, even not only my students, but everybody
else.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. So were you successful?
I think we were able to get almost every student K-8, at least some play time. I think there were a couple classes that didn't get in on it or weren't able to make it work with their schedule, but for the most part, I gave up a couple of my days of instruction with my 7th and 8th graders. Something we do a lot is buddying. So I had, when we came back from spring break, I had one day where I just let the 7th, 8th kind of explore during science class to get an idea of what everything in the kit was. And then I had created a sign up and invited other teachers, K-8, to sign up for slots to come into my classroom. And since my 7th, 8th had the chance to learn, they sort of buddied with the youngers. And they played together, and they were able to teach the youngers.
So they had, like, they were guides on the side, but they were students as a guide.
Yeah.
So when you said they explored, did you set up, how did you introduce the tools? Did you set up centers, or did you give them any design challenges, or did you just say, here's a thing, go for it?
I pretty much just kept it open. So with this, with the older kids, I really just said, okay, like, you know how to read directions, or just figure it out. Because I really wanted them to be able to think critically and problem solve on their own without me saying, okay, here's what I want you to do. Down the road, I would love to be able to go back and have it more integrated with lessons and have some really specific design challenges. But in this particular context, it was that first exploration was really just a chance to see, like, what do we love? What works for us? What do we want to use with the first and second graders tomorrow?
Right.
Things like that.
So, two questions. When you didn't give them any direction, did anybody get freaked out, or were there some people who were just like, okay? I'm wondering what the dynamic was when you didn't really give them any direction.
I was amazed, actually, at how well they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they were just so excited that the fact that there weren't directions was okay. Like, in other contexts, they kind of freak out when they don't get directions, but
yeah.
I think they were just so excited to dig in and figure it out. I mean, some of them needed a little bit of guidance. You know, for example, like the makey-makey, I would say, like, oh, this, you can turn it into a keyboard. I have some celery. And, you know, they wanted to figure that out and as quickly as they could and needed some support and, like, how do I figure that out? But for the most part, they really just dove in. And even the first and second graders, I was amazed at how quickly, and I think it was great for their teachers, the classroom teachers, to see as well.
And classroom teachers stuck around.
Because the classroom teachers,
came
in for the buddies. Because that's something that I worry a lot, that some of the younger teachers, because they maybe don't use technology stuff as frequently, not all the stuff in the kit was tech related, but they don't use it as frequently, I think they worry that, like, oh, they're not ready, or they don't know how to figure it out, and they figure it out so fast.
Right.
Without much support at all.
I know with some of the conversations we've had, the students would say, can I get a Chromebook out? And they would go to YouTube and look for videos. Did they do any of that kind of stuff? Or like tutorials, basically?
I think for some of the things they were looking up a little bit. Yeah. I know I definitely was.
Yeah.
I took a lot of the things home, and my husband and I played over spring break. So I was like, I just want to like have an idea of how I can support kids with this stuff and make sure I know how it works. So I definitely did a lot of that.
Did you ever use our thing link that we put up on the, I'm curious. I mean, not because I'm like, it won't hurt my feelings if you said, no, Zoe, I never used that thing link that had the different, you know, when you scroll over it, there's for specifications and then also for lesson ideas. I wonder if you
I didn't get into the lesson ideas much. I looked a little bit for just like
specifications
and getting an idea of like what was there, and shared that with teachers so that they could look. I don't know if anyone took advantage of that.
It's there, and we hope people use it. And if they don't, that's okay too. Whatever your style is, if your style is to go and Google something, you know, go right ahead. That's fine, because you're problem solving and you're doing it the way that you like to do it. Okay, so you had the students helping the other students. Which tools resonated, do you think? What were the big hits, and what were like, nah?
I think some of the biggest hits, all the classes, because we did that budding experience with 1-2s, and then the following week, I actually gave up my planning period and went into all the 3-4 classes and did some work with them. And I would say across the board, they all love the cubelets. And that's something I have to say, I guarantee, like, the kids know more about how to use cubelets than I do. Like, I still look at them, and I'm like, can someone help me with this? But I'm amazed at how quickly, like, they just kind of figure it out, and they get really excited about, oh, I just made this lighthouse, or I just made this whatever, and, like, their imagination.
You stole my lighthouse story, because I always tell the lighthouse story where we went somewhere, and second graders came to a table full of cubelets, and there was no design challenge, and there was a boy and a girl, second graders. I walked away for like 5 minutes, came back, and there was this monstrosity that I couldn't figure out, but there was a twirling light at the top, and I said, what is it? And he looked at me like I was crazy. Well, of course, it's a lighthouse. And then I was with somebody else, and she said, well, why does it move? Lighthouses don't typically move. And he said, well, fog doesn't stay in the same place. And that was me. That was for me, like, I love those connect the dot moments. I'm like, oh, okay, you're right. Second grader.
it was really fun to watch. The youngers love the Osmo.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big hit with all the first and second grade teachers. Like playing with the tangrams, or even just the monsters, they had a lot of fun with.
The obby coding thing.
I don't know if any of them got into that.
Oh, interesting.
But they played around with all the other apps with the Osmo.
Did they spend time with Dash?
Not much with Dash. My kids really, some of the 7th and 8th graders got into it and got him playing the xylophone.
What number kit did you have?
9.
Oh, so you had the one with Cubetto in it.
Yes.
Yeah, what did you think of
that? That was really fun for the youngers. That was the thing that with the 1st and 2nd graders, I was so impressed with how quickly they figured it out. Because the first day that we'd all tried, we realized the batteries were dead, so we brought in batteries the next day.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. We brought in batteries the next day, and it was like, okay, their kids are going to be here in 5 minutes. Figure this out. And they did. I mean, the 1st and 2nd graders got there. They're like, oh, well, we just do this. And, I mean, they were so excited to see how just this really simple coding could make that little guy move around. And
did they go off the chart. I mean, did they start doing their own kind of coding, or were they only sticking with what the examples were?
I don't think they were even looking at the examples. I think they just kind of opened the book to see what each piece could do.
Yeah.
And then, because they were working with my 7th and 8th graders, so they would kind of guide them, and where do you want him to go, and how are we going to make him do that? So they were kind of coming up with problems together and creating ways to solve them.
So let's see, did you have the make do? Cardboard construction? I don't know if you got a chance to use it.
We did. We didn't in those, because we had such a limited amount of time.
Well, and
we didn't.
30 days, you got to know you have a lot of cardboard and maybe have a little bit of a plan. Okay, so the other thing is that I want to mention is that your guys did the Kiva plank ping pong table. How did that come about?
It was some 3rd and 4th graders, and a lot of kids would open up the little book of contraptions and try to build something from there, and they told me they looked at the book and they weren't sure that they could. They'd had all the materials they needed to build, so they just decided to build a ping pong table. And I looked over, and here they are at this table just playing a game of ping pong together. And it was, like, not something in a million years I would have ever thought about putting together.
Right. Well, and when I saw your video of it, I realized there was somebody else out in the world who had done that, too. So it would be really cool to, like, collect all the Kiva plank ping pong table videos and just show them to all the other kids and say, can you outdo this ping pong table?
Their table wasn't quite long enough to make it a really robust game of ping pong, but
they worked with what they had. Okay, so now you mentioned to me, and I told you stop talking because I want to get this on the podcast. What happened with the fundraiser?
So Horizons has a really big fundraiser, you know, being a charter school, that's a big part of what we do.
I come from a charter school, I know. Yeah.
So we had our big auction last weekend, and the paddle raiser that was like the end of the live auction was funding to fill a makerspace with equipment. So on that list were some things from the maker kit, but also, you know, we're hoping to get a laser cutter and another 3D printer and some big ticket items. So I put together like a 5-minute slideshow presentation video to share with families so that they could be informed about what is a maker mindset. And I'd actually, a few Fridays before that, done, we do like coffee connections on Friday mornings with parents. So Lauren, my principal, and I led a coffee connections with some parents who came in and shared the video with them, and they actually got it. The parents got a chance to play so that they could get some experience.
At the coffee, they got to play.
And just ask questions about what is maker culture and what does this mean for our school, so they could kind of start spreading the word a little bit and getting excited.
I just have a really quick question. Did any of the parents question the value? Like, isn't this just play, or why do they need this, or how does this tie into what my kids needs to learn?
I don't think they really questioned the value. I think it was really just trying to understand, like, how is this going to help, you know, support students learning? Like, this seems like something we used to do. Why is this coming back, or, like, what's the reason for, you know, this introduction in this way?
And I always tell everybody, it's a renaissance. It's just a learn. We did used to do it. It's just changing and morphing a little bit. It's a learn by doing renaissance.
And we talked about in particular with, like, with math, for example. Like, this is such a great way for students who might be reluctant learners in math to get a chance to just apply some of the things they're learning in a different setting and get really excited. We had one of our fifth and sixth grade teachers actually say that. She worked on it with one of, you know, her, with a struggling math class, and found that kids who normally, like, are really disengaged in math or really struggle, we're like, we're so excited to play with the stuff in the maker kit.
Okay, so you did your coffee, your coffee talk, coffee talk, and then they got to play, and then you did the paddle raiser. So did you have stuff at the fundraiser, or was it just leveraging what your coffee
we didn't have anything at the fundraiser.
Well, I tell you, Superior did, and that was really, and you should go back and listen to that podcast, because what Tracy did was pretty cool at the fundraiser. I'm curious how it worked out for you guys.
But I had put together, like I said, a slideshow video, so it showed a lot of the stuff in action. It was just tons of pictures of the kids, you know, playing around, and then just an introduction to what is a maker culture and why, what are some benefits of that, you know, for our students at Horizons and really anyone that's part of that.
Do you want to share if it was successful or not?
Yes, it was. We exceeded our goal for the fundraiser.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, it's really exciting.
So you got enough money to really kickstart what you want to do.
Absolutely.
So do you feel that the kit gave you that taste of maker education and informed maybe some of the tools you might like to bring in?
Definitely. I think it gave us a good idea of some of the things that we really love. And more than that, I think it just got the kids really excited about the opportunities, and teachers who may have been a little bit scared or unsure about what does it mean to have a maker space or what does it mean to support a maker culture, being able to see how much it engaged the students, I think was like a big boost just to the overall feeling towards the idea.
You've warmed my heart by making a point of maker space and maker culture, because we don't want it to happen in one spot. I mean, we understand that sometimes that's where all the stuff lands, and maybe that's a great place to do certain things, but we want it to be a maker culture. We want it to happen anywhere, anytime. So before you leave the podcast, can you let everybody know what your Twitter handle is?
It's at Stacey Duval 5.
Stacey Duval 5.
Stacey Duval 5.
5. Okay, great. Because I want everybody to go and see all the stuff that you've already posted, because you posted a lot of stuff, which we really appreciate. You're going to share your slideshow with me. I'll fix that folder so you can get stuff in there, because we want to see that. Would you borrow a kit again?
Absolutely. I would love to borrow a kit again and really get a chance to take it to the next step and help teachers integrate into lessons. And they're all, I mean, it was already, you could already see teachers thinking in that direction, or kids saying, you know, getting the Ozobots, that was another favorite thing.
Loved those
little guys. But thinking about, oh, I could make him tell a story. Like, it was fun seeing how quickly the kids saw an application.
There's going to be a place later this year where you can upload some of those. So when your space comes into fruition and you've got a maker culture, there's going to be a place where you guys can upload lessons that you've done, because we want to share them with everybody in the district too. So I'll keep you apprised.
Awesome.
Thanks for borrowing a kit. We really
appreciate
it.
Thanks for letting me.
And as soon as the podcast is posted, I will let you know, and you can hear yourself talk, which I never listen to one after it's recorded, because I can't hear my own voice.
I'm not hearing mine either. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.